Matthew 15, verses 3 to 6. We know that there is nothing purer than the Word of God. And we learned from 1 Corinthians 12 that God has purified His Word 7 times. That means the more you study the Word of God, the purer it gets. It's the only thing in the world that does that. God's Word just gets better and better. And that's never to say that it was ever bad, but it gets purer. We also know that the highest authority in the universe is the Word of God, because the Lord has magnified His Word above His name. That's Psalm 138. We've looked at that before, but the highest authority is the Bible, the Word of God. We know that the Word of God is powerful. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." God says His Word is alive. His Word is powerful. It's sharper than any sword, and it gets down to the heart of every matter. Sharper than any sword, piercing to the dividing asunder. Tonight, I want to show you that there are some things that are more powerful than the Word of God. Now, you say you contradicted yourself. I said the highest authority in the universe is the Word of God. And God says His Word is powerful. But there are some things that can override that power. And they are in the negative. Take your Bibles and go to Numbers chapter 30. First of all, let's look at how our word can be made of none effect. Numbers chapter 30, and look at verse number 3. And I'm just going to draw, there's a couple of words that are said over and over again here. Watch this, Numbers chapter 30, and then we'll go back to the New Testament. Numbers chapter 30. Numbers chapter 30. Look at verse number 3. And what we're looking at now is when our word can be made of none effect. And God says our vows. Look at verse 3. "If a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord, and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth." So you could say this is a teenage girl if you want. "And her father hear her vow, and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand. And every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand." So if the dad hears that his girl make a vow to the Lord, "God, I promise this, and Lord, I commit myself to this," and he doesn't say anything, then he says her vow will stand. Look at verse number 5. "But if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth not any of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. And the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her." So sometimes we'll have one of the kids on the bus routes get saved, and they come to church and they want to get baptized, but their parents say no. You say, "Well, after you get saved, you're supposed to get baptized." Wait a second. God says, "Honor your father and mother," and until she becomes an adult out of her house, then it's proper to say, "No, you're fine." But what happens if I die before I get baptized? You'll go to heaven. You don't have hell to worry about. And one day when you become an adult, you're still to honor your parents, but you no longer have to obey them. Here, the father is able to disallow the vow of the teenage daughter. Look at verse 6. "And if she had it all in husband, when she vowed or uttered aught out of her lips wherewith she bound her soul, and her husband hear it, and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vows shall stand. And her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallowed her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow which she vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, of none effect. And the Lord shall forgive her." So, we can see in the Bible where there are situations as the wife is the husband is the man is the head of the woman. If a wife goes to town, she makes an agreement, and she comes home and she tells her husband. And out of love, that husband says, I know that man that you made the bargain with. He's a thief, he's a crook, and I'm not going to let you get yourself in a bind like that. And the husband disallows her vow. She is no longer, it's as if she never made the vow. It's as if she never, the husband can override that. Praise the Lord. The husband rendered the vow or her words of none effect. Now go back to Mark chapter 7. Go back to Mark. I know we started in Matthew. Go to Mark chapter 7. Go to the New Testament. Tonight I want you to be glad you have the Bible. God's Word tells us how to be the right kind of husband. God's Word tells us how to be the right kind of wife, how to be the right kind of citizen, how to be the right kind of employee. God's Word tells us that. Watch this. Mark chapter 7. Look at verse number 10 now. And we're using these words of none effect. Disallowed. And we've learned what makes our words is our God-given authorities can be, our words can be made of none effect by those that God puts over us. Our words. We can make a vow, pledge ourselves, but there are times our words can be made of none effect. Now look what God says about His Word. Look at verse number 10. Mark 7, verse 10. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. Sounds like a snowflake talking, doesn't it? Living in his mother's basement. He shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother? Jesus is correcting him. He's saying this is wrong. Look at verse number 13. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered. And what a statement. And many such like things do ye. So here's what was happening. Here, a child justifies his pride and his disobedience to his parents. Then he makes up something that is not in the Bible. And Jesus said it made the Word of God of none effect when you did that. So you just made something up because you didn't want to obey the Bible. Isn't that amazing? That, making something up, made the Bible of none effect. So we can, I've showed you tonight how our pledges and vows and our word can be made of none effect. And God says the same thing can be done with that powerful book you have in your hand, His Word. We can make God's Word of none effect in our life. Listen closely. God's Word is alive. It's living. But you can cancel it out. God's Word is powerful, but you can render it powerless. God's Word does change lives unless men and women render it of none effect. Jesus said this happens by our traditions. What's a tradition? That's what I... Okay. When we're used to doing something, or we like to do something, or what we believe we should be doing is obeyed instead of the Bible, we make God's Word of none effect. Because we like it. Well, that's, you don't understand. That's what I've always done. That's what my religion teaches. And God says, if you want to hold to that, then you just made the Word of God powerless in your life. Because of your tradition. Many churches and denominations have taught for centuries that salvation is when water is sprinkled or poured on an infant's head. It may be dear, it may be cute, but, and that belief is held by many churches, that belief that a baby, when you sprinkle it, is getting saved, that's held by millions of people around the world. But 1 Corinthians 1:17 says, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Do you know what renders Jesus' death on the cross of none effect? When you say that baptism saves. When you say, no, baptism is never saved. God says it in the Bible. Don't say that, or you'll make what Jesus did of none effect. No, don't you understand? The baptism can't wash away sin. The water does not wash away sin. The blood Jesus shed on the cross, His suffering, He was sacrificed in your place. That pays for sin. But if you want to insist, say, no, I've been baptized. Then guess what? You make the cross of Christ and what He did of none effect. In other words, it won't save you. Even though Jesus died for you, you've made, because of what you believe, you've made the cross of Christ of none effect. If the traditional teaching is your works and your good life will get you to heaven, if your good works outweigh your bad, where did that come from? That came from a church or a tradition. That never came from the Bible. That's what has been orally taught, and what the Bible says now doesn't matter in that tribe or that village or that town. God's Word is able to save their soul if they're willing to believe the Bible instead of their traditions. That has to be chosen. But if what they think and what they've always done is more important than the Word of God, then they die and go to hell. What does the Bible say? It doesn't matter. What does the Bible say? You don't understand. It has no effect on them. But Jesus died for them. I know, Jesus died for every person. Amen? But it has no effect on them because of what they've chosen to believe instead of the Bible. Instead of the Bible. Could the Bible help them? Sure it could. But it can do nothing for them if they choose to exalt their traditions and their religions and their beliefs above the Word of God. I've been told several times this month by people visiting our church that the church they attend has a woman pastor. Because they were asking, I took the Bible and I showed them what the Bible says. God never called a woman to preach in the Word of God. Never. Never. You want me to say it again? Never. You can even twist words, and it won't work. God never called a woman to preach. But the Bible only helps if they believe the Bible is more important than their beliefs and traditions. Last year we had somebody come from Mount Zion Methodist Church. They came to our church last year. Not 2018, 2017. And I went and visited them. I said, well, my goodness, glad you came to church. I always am. And I said, how come you came? They said, well, I've got a woman pastor down there at Mount Zion now. And boy, they were upset. I was like, well, we don't. And we're not going to either. we're not even praying about it. They said, boy, we sure are glad to find a church where the man's the pastor. I just knew they'd be back. They never came back. I went and visited them again. And now, honestly, that was the husband that I was talking to later when I went back a couple of weeks later. I said, hey, just let you know, I'm thinking about you. You need anything, let me know. The wife was there this time. And man, did she wear the pants in the family. But she just spoke up. We're satisfied with our church. He was furious about it 3 weeks before that. That's why he came to our church. But she put her foot down. You know what? It didn't matter what the Bible taught at that time. Ma'am, did you know the Bible says there's no such thing as a woman? Get out of here. Okay. I just felt I didn't have to say. It didn't matter what the Bible said. She had already made the Word of God of none effect by what she had chosen. Did you know the first woman pastor was Ella Neswanger in 1889 in, guess what, a United Methodist Church? The Methodists were the first one to have women preachers. Anna Hanscombe is believed to be the first woman ordained as a preacher by the Church of the Nazarenes in 1919. The Nazarene Church has been liberal for a long time. The first time this was ever voted on, whether a woman should preach, you've got to know that there were people in the congregation saying, this isn't right, because 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 Timothy 2 tells us. And you know, when the business meeting was over, it didn't matter what the Bible said the first time it was voted on, the first time it passed. If you were able to ask them, why did you do that? Why did you vote to have a woman pastor? They would reply, well, our tradition is, let the people vote and follow the will of the people. What the Bible says does not matter. If the people vote for it, then that must make it right. That's just like legalizing marijuana. Don't get me started. Oh, really? You smoke marijuana? Well, it's legal now. Okay, well, what are you going to do when they make cocaine legal? It's legal. What does that have to do with the tea in China? I guess I'm trying to say, oh, it's legal. Oh, okay. When I was growing up, it was the herb of druggies, and it still is, by the way. It still is. Look, it never matters what God says in the Bible if your traditions or what you prefer mean more to you than the Bible. People always ask me, how come there's so many different churches and how come there's so many different denominations? I'll tell you why. Because people don't care what God wrote in His Word. That's exactly why. God doesn't make you choose to obey His Word. It is a choice. Romans 5:10, God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Your choice of what to believe can nullify the powerful, life-changing Word of God when you cling to a tradition over the Bible. People don't care that capitalism is a Bible principle for business. People don't care that socialism in any form is a violation of God's structure for any society laid out in His Word. I'm not saying that there's people that don't need welfare, but welfare destroys a society. It's been proven in any history you want to look at. Our society will collapse. FDR set it in place. FDR is the one that did the welfare thing, you know, New Deal and all that stuff. It is a time bomb. I hope it doesn't go off soon, but it will collapse our society. You cannot keep having people pay for things. You can't give money away that people don't work for. It collapses a society. That's socialism. Capitalism is biblical. The principles are there. If a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. That's Bible. The control in our country. I'm just going to make this statement. Did you know you can't dig a hole here in Maryland without a permit? I found that out the hard way. I was like, what? They said, if you want to dig a hole, if you move dirt, they're interested in water flow here. Well, we want to know what you do with the dirt you dug out of that hole. I put it in my backyard. I buried a cat with it. I don't know. What do you... I'm absolutely amazed. Well, if you dig a hole, we got to find out where... It's my dirt. I bought the stinking house. I mean, my blessed house. I put my dirt wherever I want to put my dirt. I'm amazed. That control issue, that control, we want to control everything you do. That's communism. It's corrupt. It's O'Malleyism, okay? And that's for old-time Marylanders, okay? The colleges are teaching. They don't teach towns and cities anymore. Everything's now called a community. Have you thought of that? Community. Commune. Communism. They don't want you owning your own land. They don't want you owning your own house. The more you bunch people together, the tighter you pack people, the more immoral people become. And the more the society breaks apart. the more it breaks apart. You need to watch what's happening. We don't want you owning private property. And if you do own it, we'll tax you so much that you'll have to give your property up. Do you not see that that's what's coming? Is everybody not? Okay. Listen closely. That verse that I read you, go ahead and take your Bible. Go to 1 Corinthians 1:17. I've read it to you, 1 Corinthians 1:17. It says this, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. None effect. So Jesus Christ bore the sins of the whole world on the cross and was tortured to death for every man. He rose again from the dead and told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That tells me this. Philosophy has no place in the gospel. Psychobabble renders the gospel ineffective. You don't need to know manipulation tactics or sales pressure techniques. All you need to do is be filled with the Holy Ghost. You need God's power on your life to witness and be an effective witness for the Lord. You don't need to know, you know, if you'll, what they teach in sales school. When it comes time to make the sale, hold the pen real close to their face. Go ahead and just sign. I know sales techniques. I don't use them when I go soul winning. I don't want wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. I want God's power when I go soul winning. I want the Holy Ghost of God to fill me. I don't... Sales technique, psychology garbage. I don't need the psychology. Lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. When you call an addiction to drugs or to alcohol an addiction instead of sin, you make the Word of God of none effect. God says, call it sin, and God says, repent of it then. If it's a sin, then repent of it. When you call habitual pornography an addiction instead of sin, you make the Word of God of none effect. And God says it's sin. God calls it sin. In other words, it's not a lifestyle, it's not a bad choice, it's sin. Call sin, sin. Don't make the Word of God of none effect. When you come to God's Word, don't keep making excuses so you can continue sinning. Let the Word of God correct you. Otherwise, it has no effect. Believe the Bible so God can help you get victory over it instead of making excuses for it. God doesn't want you sitting in a circle talking about it for the next 25 years. Well, I go to RU. Really? How long you been going to RU? 25 years. Have you ever gotten victory over it? Well, we sit in a circle and we talk about it. God wants to help you now. Amen? God wants to help you, but you have to let God. Amen? People who are intelligent, all right? People who are intelligent, there are some intelligent people in the world. But they don't believe the Bible. And they do have problems. There's some intelligent people in our world. Very intelligent. I like to hear Ben Shapiro talk. You know he's lost, right? Very intelligent man. Very conservative. But he's a Jew. He has no use for Jesus Christ. I'd love to talk to him about it sometime. He could probably talk circles around me. He's a very learned individual. But he has made the Word of God of none effect in his life. It does not have an effect. Did you know that every person is going to believe the Bible, every word of it, one day? Every word. You just hope they do it before they die, because if they die, it's too late. It'll be too late. Take your Bible and go to Galatians chapter 5. We'll just look at couple more places here. Galatians chapter 5. Watch this. What can make the Bible powerless in your life? Look at Galatians chapter 5. God says here, verse 1, I'm going to work my way down to verse 4, but stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, or if you're claiming Judaism, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ, watch this, verse 4, Christ is become of no effect unto you. So the Bible can be powerless, and Jesus Christ can have no effect on these Christians in the churches of Galatia. That he said, you're saved, but Christ has no effect on you. Wow. The Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the moment you claim anything you've done is helping you get to heaven, you make Jesus' death on the cross worthless. Lost people make Christ of no effect when they say, oh, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I don't care how good you think you are. You're going to go straight to hell when you die if you don't get saved. Jesus can't save them because they've decided that they are right and Christ is wrong. You say, but Jesus is right and they're wrong. But you don't understand. With them, it doesn't matter. They've already determined what I believe is right and what the Bible says has no effect. Can I tell you tonight, if you're saved, God's grace is what saved you, and it's God's power that keeps you saved. If you're saved and you want to live a righteous life, then you're going to have to let Christ work in you and give God the glory. But when you brag about the souls you've won and what you've done and how much you've given to missions, and that's you going about to establish your righteousness. And Jesus steps aside and says, okay, big boy, go ahead, help yourself. You want all the glory? Then do it yourself. Christ is made of no effect to you. Jesus doesn't affect you. Take your Bible and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Watch this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Your Bible, praise God, is not oral tradition. We're going to look at that on Wednesday night. But your Bible is not even the thoughts of God. If you have a King James Bible, you have the true, pure words of God. God's word will fix your heart if you believe it. If you have a Bible in your house, I'm glad. But that doesn't change anything. Owning a Bible doesn't change your life. It's not a rabbit's foot or a lucky charm. Amen. Having it doesn't automatically turn you into a spiritual person. Reading it and believing it is that. Let God speak to you directly, and that'll change your life. Believing God's word lets you have a wonderful walk with God and victory over sin and great friendships, and we can go right down the line. But if you choose to believe you over the Bible, then you make it of none effect. God's word is the greatest power on earth. If you have any problem tonight or any conflict, listen closely. I can sit down and show you from the Bible how to fix it. But did you know me sitting down with the Bible and showing you how to fix it won't fix it? Do you know what fixes it? When you believe what you see in the Bible. That'll fix it. But me sitting down, I'll gladly sit down with you. But me sitting down with you, showing you the Bible, doesn't fix it until you decide to believe what the Bible says. What do you believe what the Bible says? If you reject the truth of the Bible and you say that doesn't apply to my situation or to me, that won't work. You must have faith in what you're reading, that God is speaking to you. Reading the Bible together doesn't change anything. You've got to believe it. That tells me this. Self-will is more powerful than the Word of God. Now, let's look at one more place here. Go to Matthew 23. Matthew 23, look at verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Notice those last four words in verse number 37, and ye would not. Jesus said, I wanted to gather you. I wanted to help you. I wanted to protect you. And when Israel said no, guess what? Israel won. Israel won. They won the battle and they lost the war, because you can't fight against God and win, but God said, fine, you don't want my protection? So be it. Live with the curse then. And the Jews have been cursed for the past 2,000 years. Israel, as Rome came in, wiped it clean, made it desolate, and now that they're a nation again, praise God, God's going to restore them. But there's one more desolation coming. The Antichrist is coming to Israel, and he's going to wipe the slate clean also. It's going to be a bloody mess. Praise God, we'll be in heaven for it. He's going to restore Israel, but after the seven-year tribulation. Listen closely. God's will is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But people aren't saved because they don't want to be saved. God's will is that every person be saved. God's will is that once you get saved, you get baptized, and that you get to serve in a local church of Bible believers. But do you know why people don't do that? Because they don't want to. That's why. It's literally that simple. Okay? God's will is that you read the Bible every single day. And if you don't, do you know why you don't? Because you don't want to. That's why. Well, no, this is why. No, you don't want to. Self-will, your self-will can render the Bible of none effect. Self-will. God says, I'd love to speak to you today. I'd love to gather you under my wings and protect you and speak to your heart. I hope it's not said about you, but he said, but ye would not. You wouldn't. I'm fine. I'll make it today. I can get along. God says, okay, then do it. Then do it. God's will is that you go soul winning and tell others about the Lord. If you don't, do you know why? Because you don't want to. Well, no. That's what it boils down to. You don't want to. Self-will can render the Bible of none effect. My self-will in my life is many times more powerful than the Bible. You have to believe God's word enough to surrender your will and obey it. And if you think you gave our church, okay? I think if you gave our church a pop quiz, Bible quiz, I believe our church would do well. I believe our church would do better than most. I believe that. You say, because I'm not inflating my head. I'm saying, I know what we preach here. I know what we teach. We've not arrived. But let me just wrap that up by saying this. Did you know knowing the Bible doesn't mean that you believe it? You can have all the dispensations down. You can have the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven down. You can know a lot about the Bible, but that doesn't mean you believe it. Okay? When what we are used to doing, or what we like doing, or what we believe we should be doing, is obeyed instead of the Bible, we make God's word of none effect. I'm going to close by saying this. I'm glad I have a Bible. God gave me His word. But I need the Bible to have me. For me to be a successful Christian, I'm glad God gave me His word. But I need the Bible to have me. Tonight, the name of the sermon is Making the Word of God of None Effect. And let's pray. Father, I pray that please, you could use this truth. And Lord, I thank you for what you've done in our church, how you've spoken to hearts. But Lord Jesus, please, we live in a Catholic area. And Lord, they're taught so many false things that priests and confessing their sins and baptism and going to church gets them to heaven. Dear God, please help us to show them the truth that only your precious blood washes away sin.